He didn't get the mattress and go like this. He didn't do that. He's not like that. The lesson today is God chose a second born. Now, there is a law in Scripture which teaches what? The rejection of the firstborn. Now, can you name me some of the firstborn or the first that were rejected? Brother Jay, we're going to get you next, Brother Ray. All right, brother, go ahead and tell me. Esau and Jacob, all right. Rejection of the firstborn there. What about some others? Brother Dale. Who was I going to ask? Brother Jay, you didn't know I'm going to get out of this, brother. What? Cain and Abel, okay. What? Yeah. What's another one? Jesus. All right. The first Adam and the second Adam. Okay. The first Adam came, he was rejected, wasn't he? The second Adam came, and he was accepted. All right. What's some others? We heard Cain and Abel. All right. Just think about that. All right. Verse 19 and 25. Genesis 25. Now, these are the records of the generations of Isaac. What does Isaac mean, Kelly? Laughter. All right, that's what his name means. And why? How did he get that name, Rosemary? All right, that's right, because they were old, weren't they? They were very old when they had this child, and they did not believe they could have this child. Now, it says... Here's brother. Where's Brother Bill? Brother Bill's backsliding today. He's not here today. Okay. Now these are the records of generations of Isaac, Abraham's son, and Abraham became the father of Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel. All right. Now here's where it tells that Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. Okay. Put that down. Circle it. Put it back over there in the last chapter if you want to. Buy it right up there. Someplace. Where is it? Right on chapter 24, if you want to put it up there. He was 40 years old when he married. His daddy was still taking care of him, wasn't he? Still protecting him, keeping him away from the world. He had his best in mind always, trying to protect his son from the world, trying to keep him away from sin. Because sin does pollute, doesn't it? He wanted him to protect him. He wanted to find the right wife for him. In the right place, and it would have been so much easier just to let things go, wouldn't it? Let him get a child and that, because this was a long trail. Remember, he went all the way back over here to the Mesopotamian area to pick him a wife. That was a long way, wasn't it? And he sent his best friend to do it too, didn't he? Who was his best friend? Eliezer. All right. He was going to be the heir at one time, wasn't he? Isn't that right? Eliezer, the servant, the Syrian from Damascus, he was going to be the heir of Abraham because that was his best friend. He was going to leave everything to his servant until God intervened and stepped in. All right, let's go on a little further now. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren, and the Lord answered him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, Abraham prayed many times for a child, didn't he? How many of you know how old Isaac was when he had a child? Abraham was about 100, wasn't he? All right. Now, how old was Isaac? He had been married how long? When they had a child. How long had they been married without a child? Huh? 20 years. That's a long time. They hadn't had a child for 20 years. He thought as far as he could see, the promise was gone. I mean, here I'm supposed to be having, finally daddy had me, when he was 100. But look here at me. You know, I'm going to be, here's going to be the same thing. I'm going to be an old man and not have a child. Well, God gave him a double blessing or a personal blessing, one or the other, whichever way you want to look at it. But the children, God answered him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, can you imagine, just put yourself in Isaac's shoes for a moment. Here you are, 60 years old, you know, nearly 60 years old, and you haven't had a child yet. And you're the promise. You're going to have a great, mighty nation come out of you. And where is the nation? Where is my child? One. Just one. That's all I want, just one. No child. But he believed in God and he prayed to God too, didn't he? He believed God. He believed God could do it. Why did God deal with these people in this way? To make believers out of them, didn't he? To show them that they had to trust in him. You know something, you'll never serve the Lord one day unless you trust in God. Not one day. Your whole world may turn upside down, but if you trust in God, you can serve the Lord. Brother Jim. That's right. He wanted to sure. Remember what Golda Meir said? Remember what she said? What? Someone asked her why that her nation, Israel, was such a mighty nation. Was it because God chose you? And she said no. Just an absolute blasphemy against the Word of God, actually. She said no, because Israel chose God. Not because God chose Israel. But the Bible doesn't say that, does it? That is the proud, arrogant attitude of the Jew today. And if it wasn't for the mercy of God, he'd wipe the whole mess out. That's right. If it wasn't for God's mercy, he'd wipe them all out. Because that's the attitude of those people today. We're great because we chose God. No, they're great because God chose them. That's exactly why. You know why that the Lord's churches are in existence today in the world? Because of all the Baptist patriots down through the ages? Nope. Because the Lord says the gates of hell shall not prevail against my assembly. That's why. Because the Lord said it would not. You know, the only age, really, that's not going to fail is going to be the church age, because God said, I'll be with you unto the end of the world. And he says the gates of hell shall not literally wrestle her down, his bride. That's why. No other reason. Who gave all those people the ability to die down through the dark ages? Stand for the truth. Gave them a want to. God did. He's the one that did it. They couldn't have done it on their own. No way in this world. How many of you could stand to see your children killed in front of your eyes? Huh? Well, they did. They had to. And God gave them the grace to do it.
Well, brother, I haven't looked at any of them for a long time. There's some.
Does anyone need a book? Anyone need a book? Do you need one, Marguerite? You don't need one? Okay. When God gives you the grace to serve him. It says, but the children struggled together with her and her, and she said, if it is so, why then am I in this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Have you ever been serving the Lord and everything just go wrong? You know, just constantly, like somebody steals your battery, try it twice in a row. You know, something like that. I mean, everything you do for the Lord, and you just seem like the world is against you. I got news for you. The world is against you. The world is against you. You don't have people out there to love. You have people out there to hate, deceive, kill, murder. That's what you have. That's what you have in the world, isn't it? Can you expect anything else from the Adamic man? Well, here's this woman trying to do the will of God. She thinks, well, Lord's blessing me now. Here I have two children struggling within me. She had a problem there. What's going on here? You ever feel that problem there, Sharon? No, not yet. You did not like her, huh? not having two children, fighting within her. Struggling, that word struggling means fighting. Those boys were fighting before they were born. And you know what? They're still doing it. Right now, today, they're still fighting. When I was in English at Bakersfield College, taking English, you know, doing essays almost every day, I showed Stella some of these the other day. We were looking around the English books, but I wrote the Middle East Crisis, What Caused It. And this is exactly where I went. I said, why are the Jews and the Arabs fighting in Israel? You know, and then I went down back into history and then told the prophecy what would happen and showed this right here, this scripture and some others like that. She said, I never heard that before. I've heard everything. The teacher said, I've heard everything under the sun about why they're fighting over there. But she said, I never heard that. I said, well, that's what the Bible says. I said, you know, the Bible prophesied. Of course, I put that down. The Bible prophesied that this would happen before they were even born. Of course, went back to Ishmael also, not only to Esau, but Ishmael, and showed that he'd be a wild donkey of a man. His hand would be against everyone, and everyone's hand would be against him. In other words, he'd be fighting constantly. And that's exactly the way those Arabs over there. Can you ever, in the last 50 years, well, maybe you're not 50 years old, in the last 20 years, have you ever known of a time when the Arabs were not fighting in Palestine? Or in the Middle East? Can anyone give me 1 year that they did not fight? Never. Because God said they would. He knew what they'd be like. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. What nations are these? Now, come on. Sister Vesper. The Jews and the Arabs, okay? Two nations are in your womb. Now, don't get confused because Ishmael is much older than these. All right? He's before this. But Esau and Ishmael's descendants would marry together, and they would form the Arab races, what we call the Arab race. Okay, Brother Ray? Arab? Arabia? Yeah, Arabia. They mainly lived in Arabia. All right, and they got from them, Arab. Two nations are in your womb, and two people shall be separated from your body, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Now, I want you to understand this even today. Why did Israel in 1967 whoop the socks off all those Arab nations over there? God. There is no other explanation. How many of you ever read about that war? That was something, wasn't it? That war was a miracle in itself. All of these nations, all the way, completely surrounding, about 1,000,000 to 1 odds, and I'm not exaggerating, about 1,000,000 to 1 odds, and Israel whoops the socks off of all of them with lesser warfare equipment. And everything. What? God's hand. God's unpreventable progress. You remember that unpreventable progress of God. Because nothing can stop what He has planned. Nothing. Not the devil. Not men. Not the Antichrist. Not anyone can stop what God has planned. Says the older shall serve the younger. Now, Esau's bunch have always been stronger than God's bunch, the Jews. We have two nations, the Arab nations, and we have the Jews. Now, Esau's group have always been stronger than the Jewish people because there were more of them, mainly. They were a fighting people. The Jewish people have not basically ever contributed anything to the world. Did you know that? What contributions have they made? You think, Albert Einstein. What about Einstein? Who educated Einstein? The Japhethites. The Germans. And God just used that man to bring about something. That's all. what he learned. He didn't. His people didn't get him. He got it from another people. Well, God, basically, the Jewish people have never given the world anything, so to speak of. Medicine, no. Now they are, because of God is using them and using this advantage over there. They've never been a very agricultural people. They really haven't ever done much with that, but over there right now they're just going leaps and bounds away from, ahead of the rest of the world. When I went to Israel, I saw agricultural designs there. I looked at a lot of these things when I was there. I used to take agricultural science in high school for 3 years, I think it was, 3.5, something like that. That was my major for a long time. And when I went over there, I looked around and I saw all these things. Why, they were leaps and bounds ahead of us. And these people were diamond dealers, gold merchants, second-hand stores, hawk shop guys. That's the people that are over there in that nation right now, growing food. They didn't ever have this ability before, but how did they get over there and do all of this? God was with them. That's why. He made them love the land in such a way that no one else did, and made the land produce for them in such a way it never did for anyone else. Now, that's it. That's the reason. You know, I'm just now beginning to see some of these farmers around here come up to what's over there. You know, and the only place in the world that's ahead of America in growing? Israel? That's right. Israel. The only other nation in the world. We're so far advanced ahead of everyone else except Israel is ahead of us. A little old dinky spot over there. A little old bitty dinky land over here. Ahead of us. Producing more per acre than we are. The only other nation in the world. There's a reason for it, people. And then verse 24, Genesis 25th chapter, it says, when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came forth red and all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. Julie, are you the first or the second born? Second born. All right. Now, she has a sister that looks almost like her, doesn't she? They're twins. But she is the second born, and her sister was the first born. There's still one older than the other, huh? Well, here we have the same thing. Two little boys. Their mom and daddy probably dressed them up in suits alike and everything like when they grew up, you know. All of this, and Julie knows all about that, don't you, Julie? Look alike. Well, they didn't ever look much alike, really. These two boys were as different as night and day. One of them had the physical on his mind, the other one had the spiritual on his mind. One of them was a mama's boy and one was a daddy's boy. One was a sissy and the other was a he-man. Two boys, two different kinds of boys. What do you think the daddy would want? What do you think, which one do you think the daddy would like, Jimmy? Yeah, that's right. Go over here, you little sissy. Go cry with mama. Stuff like, you know, go over there and get away from me. And that's exactly what he did, too. That's exactly what happened. Well, God still saw into the heart of these two individuals. One didn't care. One of these macho nuts. You know, that's what Esau was. When her days to be delivered fulfilled, behold, there were twins. Now the first came forth red and hairy, like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. And afterward his brother came forth with his hand holding onto Esau's heel, so that his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. Now he came forth, his name was Jacob. Esau means red. Jacob means a trickster. A planter, one that trips the other by the heel, one that grabs the other heel. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter and a man of the field, but Jacob was a peaceful, the word peaceful there in the Hebrew means a complete, a satisfied man living in tents. All right, he was a satisfied man. He was peaceful, he was satisfied, he was content to live in tents. What's it say in the King James there? He was a what? A plain man? Well, it means literally he was a satisfied person. He was complete. He was at ease with himself and everyone else. He was happy. He was happy doing the will of God. What was the other one? Out running around fighting all the time. Chasing animals and whatever. He was a he-man, wasn't he? What? Well, you know, this rascal, later on in life, he still had a lot of problems, didn't he? Later on in life, when he came, finally, he could have been saved. I don't know. You know, salvation, I know when he was converted, but I don't know when he was saved, really. I know when he was converted, Brother Greg. You know when he was converted? That's right. When God crippled him, that's when he was saved. He knew he had to depend upon God. He had everything in this world. He couldn't even run away from his brother anymore. He was not able to. God brought him all the way down to where he could use him. I don't want him saved, Brother Jay. Hey, if he was saved here or not. This word complete means literally a satisfied person. One that's satisfied, one that's at peace, one that is satisfied with his way of life. And I was teaching down at the school the other day, and we were talking about life. And I said, you know, if you have a job that you don't like and you're miserable, but if you ought to get something in it. A man ought to be happy in whatever he's doing. He owes that to himself. Really, he does. You ought to be happy in whatever you're doing. I remember very well, I still have an uncle by marriage that lives in Marietta, Oklahoma, right across the street, right across the river from Gainesville, Texas, Cricket. You know where that is, don't you? And my stepfather kept telling Charles, Charles, you need, he said, with all of your talents and education and everything, if you come to California, you could become wealthy. Charles, remember a little old Baptist church back there, just loved the truth like that, you know. Happy, satisfied, and just having a ball being poor. You know, really. Poor, he had all he needed. He had an old car that ran. And he had a house that was paid for, and he sat in that little two-bedroom house and enjoyed it. He had what he needed, and he had the church where they loved the Lord to serve him. And so he just was happy as a lark. Well, what do I need with money? He kept going, well, what do I need with money? What do I need money for? What do I need to move to California for and get out there and run around like a rat, you know, when I'm happy here? Happy, making just a little dab of money, just enough to get by on. Happy as a lark. Well, you know, we ought to be happy. Jacob was happy. He was content with life. Yeah, that's right. Jacob was just he was a very worldly person in many ways, wasn't he? Brother Ray. What? Yeah. Brother Ray, did God deal with you before you were saved? Did he ever? Brother Jay, did God deal with you before you were saved? How about you, brother? Dale, did God deal with you before you were saved? Cricket, did God ever deal with you before you were saved? He did. Well, how do you know about that? He sure did. Well, he does always here. If he didn't, you wouldn't be saved, I'll guarantee you that much. Brother Rick, would you have been saved on your own? No, you wouldn't have. None of us would have, would we? God had to convict and make our hearts sorrowful and let us know that we're lost. Let us know we're not at peace with God. Living in tents. He was peaceful. He was complete. He was happy living in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for gain. You know, one person that I know very well, and I know that some of you know him. It's Dieter Bergstrasser. How many of you know Dieter Bergstrasser? You know that man loves to eat wild food, wild tasting food. How many have ever eaten wild food, like a dove or a deer or something, or wild hog? It's got a different taste than the meat that we have, doesn't it? How many of you like it? Brother Julian likes it. Very few people like the wild tasting food. They like to domesticate it. You know, a cow that you get, you know, they breed it where the meat is not wild. It is just very mild. You can go out here on one of these old Texas Longhorns or something and try to eat that thing. You know, chomp, chomp, chomp. Boy, you can eat a steak for a week. One steak lasts you a week.
And wild tasting, too. Wild almost as a deer or something.
Well, they've bred our cattle up and sheep and everything where they taste, you know, very mild. Sheep, goat. How many of you ever ate a goat? Well, that's another wild tasting meat. But they have goats that they breed that are very mild tasting meat. But this man loved wild tasting meat. He's like Dieter was. You know, I kind of like it just a little bit, some of it, not very much. I don't care for it too much, but I like some wild meat. But I can get sick of it if I have to, especially if I go out and kill a deer. I could not eat it the same day when I skin it and everything. That's something I can't do. I can very seldom ever go out and butcher a bunch of chickens and eat chicken the same day. I don't know, it has an effect upon me or something. I smell that meat all the time, especially when I'm trying to eat it. So I don't like it. I like it the next day or the next day, later on. Well, this man loved wild meat. And when you get wild meat, what do you have to do for wild meat, Jimmy? Go get it. Is it easy? Hard? I remember he went quail hunting here a while back and run all of those mountains up there. Up and down the mountains, and how many quail did you get? The day that my boy went with you. None, but really, getting wild meat is a lot of work. Well, Esau loved to do this. Jacob loved to eat the lambs and whatever, you know, the bread, whatever. He was satisfied with what's around there, but his daddy liked that wild meat. And he wasn't going to go out and get his daddy any wild meat, but his he-man brother would. So guess which one daddy liked? The he-man brother, the hunter. And Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, and Rebekah loved Jacob. I wonder how often Esau sat around and listened to his daddy preach about and teach about the promises of God. I don't think he listened much, did he? And his daddy said, oh, he's such a good boy anyway. Well, that's just because he doesn't do that. He's all right. God saw through it all, didn't he? When Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Now, this stew is lentil stew. How many of you ever eaten lentil? Well, it's kind of like beans. It's a little flat-looking bean is what it is, a little flat, kind of a flat bean. And by the way, this is the cheapest commodity in this whole world at this time. This was the cheapest thing that you could possibly cook. Now, I want you to see how Jacob hated his birthright. Not Jacob, but Esau hated his birthright. Esau despised and cared nothing for his birthright. Not at all. Spiritual things with him were just absolutely meant nothing. He didn't care anything about them. Have you ever seen a child of God that came to church and when the preaching was being preached, while they were doing this, playing with this, playing with their fingernails, a tie on their shoe, or anything but in the Word of God. And when you finished preaching, you could ask them, what did I preach about? Why? You know? Sound like Esau? That's exactly like the man that he was. One that despised his birthright. You know, if you're saved and you're a member of this church, you need to pay attention to what's going on in the Word of God. Not for my sake, because I am nothing, people. I'm just a man and just a sinner like you are. But the Word of God is important. That's what's important. And we need to listen to it. We need to learn the Word of God. We need to pay attention to it. Honestly, How many of you may have grown up in church and listened all the time that you were there? All of a sudden you just grew up one day and you just, I haven't been listening. You know, when I was first saved, I just wished that I had heard the truth all of my life instead of being in heretic churches. I wish that I had known something about the Word of God. How much further would I have advanced if I had been going, even if I hadn't been saved, if I'd been going to the true churches of the Lord? How much more would I have learned? I said, oh, I wish I'd have been a child and grown up in the faith and known all the things. Man, I wouldn't have had to do it all at once. You know, had to learn everything now. Start right off from scratch. Nothing. Well, I can guarantee you that Isaac was teaching the truth. But somebody wasn't listening. Somebody didn't care. That's why we need to make our children pay attention. If Esau had paid attention, maybe he'd been the one that had the birthright. But he cared nothing about it. And he was famished, he says. Esau came in from the field and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished. Literally, he wasn't so much famished. He was just a little weary. But he smelled that food and he said, I want it right now. How many of you ever gone by a hamburger joint or something? Man, I can't wait till I get home. I'll just go in here. Brother James, you ever done that? McDonald's place? You know, I know Brother Jay has. You know, I know Brother Jay has. Jay, come on. Now, you wouldn't do that, would you? Brother Jim. Well, don't ask the question then, brother. Jacob wanted that birthright, and he knew his brother didn't care anything about it. Do you think that his brother could have bought that birthright do you think Jacob could have bought that birthright if Esau cared anything about it? Yeah, but just wait a minute. No. He knew Esau, didn't he? He knew what kind of a man he was. Now, as we progress in this lesson, we know that Jacob here bought that birthright legitimately. He bought it legitimately. He bought it for nothing, because lentil soup was nothing. At least he could have had a New York steak he bought it for, you know, but he didn't care. He didn't want a New York steak. All he wanted was the cheapest thing in the land. Just a bowl of soup. A bowl of soup. That's all. Yeah, I know what you're thinking about, brother, that he would have given it because he was his brother. Come on in, brother. You know, I mean, I cook food over there, see my sister, and she said, come on over here, eat, or somebody comes along and I feed him. But this man knew, Jacob knew, that his brother didn't care anything about that birthright, but Jacob did. Jacob was a deceiver, wasn't he? Isn't that what his name meant? Deceiver? Trickster? He was a Jew. We use that term today. He knew what kind of a person his brother was, and he knew that he could buy his birthright for nothing, because he didn't care anything about it. But later on, we're going to find out that he had the trickiest dad to get what was his. It was legitimate, but Esau never told his daddy because he was ashamed of what he did. See? Esau never told his daddy what he did. And then Jacob had to deceive his father out of the birthright that was his. Because his brother had sold it and despised and hated his birthright, like God said, Christian, had you him. They were men. They were men. Here. I don't know how old exactly. They were men. They were grown men. Julie. All right, the birthright meant that a person that was a firstborn received the spiritual leadership of the family. Okay? He had the spiritual leadership of the family, and he also had the main portion of all of the material goods. But when you're a hunter, you don't need a lot of things, do you? So Esau didn't care anything about that. He didn't care how many sheep they had out there. He didn't like to eat sheep. He liked to eat deer, rabbit, bird, you know, whatever. He wanted that. He didn't want this other stuff. Brother Greg.
Did
He could have fed him many times. But he knew what kind of a man he was, and he knew what he could do, and he just saw, you know, hey, here is my opportunity to really get something that he doesn't care about anyway. If he really cared about it, he definitely would not have sold it. Brother Ray.
So he kept it in the house, keeping it from his father.
That's right. He was ashamed of what he did. Well, he wouldn't. His father would have never told Esau, "Come and I'll give you the blessing," because the blessing wasn't his. The blessing was not Esau's. The blessing was now, after this point, it was Jacob's, because he bought it, legitimately bought it. It was his. But this man was dishonest. Esau was very dishonest and would not own up to what he did. That's right. But what he wanted to do, he wanted the food, and he wanted to cheat his brother too. Yeah, see, he was the cheat more than what Jacob was. Jacob just bought something legitimately. He knew what kind of brother. How Esau would not have sold his birthright had he cared for it. The God of heaven knew how Esau felt, because he wrote down Esau hated his birthright. He despised it. He cared nothing for it. And he sold it for the cheapest commodity. What's the cheapest thing you can possibly buy in the store today? What? Rice? He sold it for a bowl of rice. That's right. Brother Jim. Well, he may have had something, but it wasn't cooked yet, you know. Well, that's not what it says. Is that what it says in King James? Well, he wasn't. He was just weary. You know, they kind of exaggerated this a little bit. Esau was weary, and he was very hungry. He'd been out. I mean, I've been out hunting all day long and got hungry, too, or all night long, whatever. And you get hungry, but you're not going to die over a night's hunting or a day's hunting, you know. Besides that, all he had to do is go down a little further. They had bread all the time. He could have got him a piece of bread, but he didn't want that. That food smelled good. He wanted that right now. Have you ever seen anybody like that? I want that right now. Yeah, well, it says here, literally, he was famished. In the original language, it said he was famished or hungry and weary. That's what it said. He was just weary and hungry. That's what the Hebrew says. Or what yours say? Which you have, King James? Now, that's what Esau said. He was exaggerating again, wasn't he? It says here, right here, it says, now God said this, please let me swallow that red stuff. Now, he's revealing to us what kind of really what he was. He was very honest at first, wasn't he? He said, I'm just real tired and I'm hungry. And then he comes down in here and exaggerates his tired and hungriness. He said, I'm about to die, you know. Have you ever heard somebody, boy, my kids walk in, Daddy, I'm dying, you know, I'm hungry. I'm about to eat the furniture. Whatever, you know. And you've seen little kids running there like a bunch of termites, you know. And, you know, they'll come in first of all and they say, Daddy, I'm hungry, you know. Then later on, I'm dying, you know, I can't make it, I'm going to die, I'm dying of hunger, starving to death. You know, they're not starving to death. They could probably make it another 30 minutes at least. Yeah. Brother Ray.
So actually, did he force his brother to lie to his father?
That's right, he forced Jacob to lie and cheat his father. Because he shouldn't have had to do that. Let's go on a little further now, so we'll get into this a little further. All right? Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff. And that was kind of a reddish-looking bean soup is what it was. For I am famished. I am weary. I'm hungry. Therefore his name was called Edom. All right? Edom, or red, because he liked the red soup. 31 says, but Jacob said, first sell me your birthright. He looked into his heart and said, that man doesn't care anything in the world about his birthright. He's a materialist, you know. That's all he cares about, material things, dollars and cents and whatever, you know, and right now I want it right now. That's what I want. And Esau said, behold, I am about to die. Now, he exaggerates, you know, like a little kid runs in the house, I'm hungry. I'm starved to death, daddy or mama, you know. Behold, I'm about to die, so what use, then, is the birthright to me? I don't care about it. So what? Could he care less about it? What was the birthright now? The best of everything. He was going to be the spiritual leader of his whole clan. The whole clan. Leading them in the things of God. Do you think Esau would have ever made a spiritual leader? Well, it proves that he wouldn't, and he didn't. Not very seriously the man was ever saved. Esau said, behold, I'm about to die, so what use then is the birthright to me? Remember that verse 32. And Jacob said, first swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Now the word swore there also means that literally he made a contract with him. You know, back then they didn't have to write things down. They just said, you know, hey, this is the way it is. When they gave their word, that was it. That was good enough. They didn't have to sign a contract or something like we do today before witnesses and everything. These were a very, well, they believed in telling the truth. That's the way it was. American Indians, for instance, over here in America. You know what the death penalty was for or lying to the Indians was death penalty. If you lied to your Indian brother, you died. That's the way it was. You didn't do that. That's just the way it was. They held very strong, and when the white man came out and kept lying to them, they just couldn't understand why the white man kept lying to them. Kept making contracts and covenants with them and just kept breaking them. That's why they call him the forked tongue man. One that speaks the forked tongue. They did not understand lying at all. Didn't understand it. Well, here he simply makes him swear by his own word, say, that I have sold you this. Now, you say that, now, I want you to say, Esau, that you sold me this birthright of yours for this soup. You know, I'll bet he gave him the whole bowl. And I'll bet Esau ate it all, too. He really wanted that birthright because it was important to him. The birthright wasn't important to Esau. Didn't care anything about it. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Remember that. Underline it. Mark it. Color it in. Do something with that thing right there. Because that is very important. Here you see two boys, and you keep looking at Jacob naturally and saying, well, why in the world would Jacob do that to his brother? He knew what kind of a brother he had. He could not have done it to his brother if his brother had any morals. Could he? Could he have done this? Could he have caused him to sell his birthright? If he'd have been down to dying, he wouldn't have done it if he cared about it. What kind of a man was Esau? Jacob. Was Jacob ever at the point of dying because he had the covenant? Sure he was. He faced death many, many times. One time when he was going against his brother, you know, all he had to do is tell his brother, brother, you got the birthright. You know? You got it. Take it. But he didn't do it, did he? Because it was important to him. Had to flee for his life. Did I describe that well enough for you, Judy? The birthright? There's a lot more involved in that, but this off the top, that's what it means. Okay? He stood to be the patriarch. The patriarch was the father leader. That's what it means. Patriarch, the first father. The father leader. Okay? This is under the time of the patriarch. This is when the father was the spiritual leader, the king, and the military leader, the everything of the family. Religious, spiritual, and military leader of the family. Just all, everything. But he didn't care anything about it. Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. And we find he goes on here. And Isaac deceives Abimelech. He does the same thing that his daddy did. over here in the 26th chapter. He sells his wife. Isn't that foolish? Well, he did it, didn't he? All right, let's go on to 27 now. I want you to see that, though. He sells his wife, just like his daddy Abraham did. You know when you sow something, you reap it, don't you? Same thing. His daddy did it twice, and he did it once, but he did it to the same man that his dad did. That's pretty bad, isn't it? What do you think that old Abimelech thought of his family? Boy, they're sure terrible on selling their wives. Why? Terrible. All right, in chapter 27. Now, it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see that he called to his older son Esau and said to him, "My son," and he said to him, "Here I am." Isaac said, "Behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death." He said, "I'm going to die pretty soon, but, you know, I can die tomorrow or today. So I want to do something. I want to give you your birthright." Did he say, "It's not my birthright anymore, Daddy, it's Jacob"? What did he say? "Ah, oh, here it is. You know, I, you know, whatever. Here's my chance. I never told him. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bowl, and go out in the field and hunt game for me. And prepare a sweet tasting dish for me. A good savory dish for me as I love. And bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." Now he didn't want the rigmarole here, you know. He wanted something to eat, you know. And he wanted to taste this. Well, he might not ever live to taste it again, you know. And he said, "Son, I want you to go fix me something good to eat like you always have in your life, and I want to give you your blessing too after you do this." So Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son, "Jacob, listen, do you think she knew anything about the birthright? Do you think she knew anything about him selling it?" This was his confider, wasn't it? Sure she did. She knew it. Now she said, "That ungodly rascal brother of yours has not told your daddy that the birthright is not his any longer. We're going to have to cheat him out of it now, because he's going to give it to his brother. He's going to give it to Esau. Esau, it wasn't Esau's to have any longer." But Jay.
Yeah, was the birthright easy without the blessing?
The birthright was conferred when you had the birthright, when you had the blessing. It was conferred.
When he sold it, he didn't really figure that Jacob was going to be able to take his father.
No, because when he sold it, it was sold. Just as the birthright was just as sellable as gold and silver. Here, he traded, he bargained for the birthright, but he traded it for nothing. And I imagine Esau was so ashamed that he never told his father at all, but Jacob told his mother.
And all later on, Esau, when he brought the game in, he was really distressed, and he found out that Esau was really distressed.
He distressed because he was caught. Wasn't he? Let's go on a little further. Let's see what happens. If we get that far. "Therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice kids from there, that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father, that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob answered to his mother Rebekah, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, that I shall be as a deceiver in his sight, and I shall bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." She said, "Jacob, you get in there and do what you're supposed to do." That's what she told him. "You get in there and do what you have to do. This rascal sold you his birthright, and he's not going to give it up, and he's going to take it. It's not going to be yours. You bought it, and he doesn't care anything about it. All he wanted was the good out of it. He didn't want the responsibility, people. He wanted the good things from it. He wanted to be the boss." That's all. So he went and got them, brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. And then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son, and he put on the skins of his kids, and on his hands, and on the smooth part of his neck. So he also gave the savory food and the bread which he had made to her son Jacob.